Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on, with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
All right, welcome to the show. I am Dan Critchett, your host. We have a co-host that has been on our show, and she is out of town today, not going to be able to join us. But Dr. Denise Hogan is on the road and thinking well of us and missing the show for today. But we have a really good show today. I want to tell you about it in just a minute. Just remember that we have five topics that we deal with. We rotate these around. For each topic, we bring in a guest of special expertise or provide some wisdom and knowledge in these areas. Number one topic area is home and family. Number two is health and wellness. Number three, budget and finances. Number four, heart and soul. And number five, work and mission. Today, our topic is heart and soul today. And so pleased to welcome to our studio Al Egg and his wife Andy here from the west side of town. And Al is well known in the area as chaplain to the Trailblazers, and he has a number of other activities we're going to be learning about today. So welcome, Al and Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Al and Andy Egg, together we're the double A eggs.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. And if you ever get mixed up, you're scrambled, and I mean, well, you can
been
go
that
on
a
with
lot.
That.
Yes,
poached
okay. Or whatever.
Poached, yeah, right. It's great to have you guys here today. I'm going to move right into our feature for today. The first feature is Who Said That? And for this, I always go out and on the internet and find a quote that fits the topic and the guest and what we're going to talk about today. And so after giving the quote, I'm going to give three clues, then it'll be kind of spread out through the broadcast. And then the third one will actually be on the podcast portion of the show. So here's the quote. Don't try to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value. Mm. You like that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So who said that? No, if you
Dan
know,
Critchett.
Well, I did read it on the radio. Yeah, does that count? Yeah, okay. I want to say why I chose this quote, because I really do a lot of research when I try to find a suitable quote. Because in our world, success oftentimes, you know, means a fancy house and a fancy car and lots of money, or position or power or prestige or those kinds of things. And we look at folks like that and we say, well, that person is really successful, and I'm doing a little finger quotes here, successful. But this person who really did achieve both success and as a person of value, he put it into perspective for us. And again, the quote, don't try to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value. Here's the first clue, get you thinking about it. First clue is his books were burned by the Nazis in Germany, and he had a $5,000 bounty on his head. Mm-hmm. He was listed in one publication as one of those not yet hanged. I don't know if he was an enemy of the state or what, but the clues will unfold as we go. Don't try to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value. Moving on to our second feature, I always bring the next chapter of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. And I wanted to say this about the book. This book, Purpose Driven Life, is the best-selling nonfiction paperback book of all time. It's been translated into 56 languages, second only to the Bible, and has sold 32 million copies. The reason that's important is because not everybody loves Rick Warren. Not everybody agrees with what's in the book. But the reason that I like these statistics and what's in the book is because it seems to me that a lot of people are interested in the whole point of purpose. Why are we here? What should we be doing? What is life really all about? And so that's why I like bringing these things from Rick Warren's book to the show. The chapter 11 is Becoming Best Friends with God. And I'm going to say a couple things from the book and invite Al and Andy to chip in if something here strikes a chord and you'd like to add to it. So Rick Warren, here's a couple of verses from Scripture that he says. First one from Romans 5. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Again, the title of the chapter is Becoming Best Friends with God. It seems to me to be something we would be interested in, right?
Absolutely. What greater friend could you have than God? I think it should be every person's goal to become best friends with God.
Exactly. And these verses then kind of tell about that concept and how it can happen. It looks like you were going to say something, Andy.
No, I just agreed.
Okay, just all right. Here's another verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends. It's a gift. It's something that we cannot acquire on our own. It's already provided for us. One more verse. That's from John 15, from the words of Jesus. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow. Here's just two little snippets, two main pieces from the chapter, what he says. And he has about six of them, but two of them are in this chapter. Here's what it means to be a friend of God. First of all, having a constant conversation with him. And, you know, Paul writes, pray without ceasing. And he seems to talk about having a relationship with God that is constant. It's not like that's one slice of the pie and then every once in a while you go to church or you read your Bible. But this portion of the chapter is become a best friend of God through constant conversation.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking right now of Kyle Eidelman's great book, Not a Fan. And he really talks about there are so many fans of Jesus in our churches today, but not a lot of followers.
Yeah.
And it's easy to be a fan, but it's you got to be a follower. And if you're going to be a best friend with God, if God's going to be your best friend, you got to be a follower.
Yeah.
Not a fan. That just doesn't cut it.
And that's the constant conversation.
That's right. And the way you become a follower and have a best friend with God, best friendship is in the Word, in the Word. We got to have more of God every day, more of God, more of God. Well, John chapter 1 begins with, in the beginning was God, or was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was the Word. So if God is the Word, and he is, every time we read it, we're taking in more of God.
Right.
Just reading the Word, we're taking in more of God, more of God, more of God, and that's how we will become best friends with God.
Yeah. Theologians, and I heard and read many of them in seminary, our theologians say the Holy Spirit rides on the wings of the Word. Mm. So if you want Spirit activated in your life, if you want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, and who wouldn't want to be around that and have it inside of you? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit rides on the wings of the Word. So, Al, I'm agreeing with you right here. We've got to be people of the Word. So that's the constant conversation. The second part is through continual meditation. Mm. So I think that God really is about the business of changing how we think, because we think as humans, we think as people, we think as, you know, people around us in the world. And the Word of God helps us to think differently because we think more godly type thoughts.
Well, you know, meditation, you combine that with being in the Word. Meditating on the Word of God is merely being with it, staying with it, being in it until it begins to talk back to you.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I haven't heard it that way before. I want to, Al, I want to ask you a question in a little bit about the Bible studies that you do around town, because you are a man of the Word and you are helping other men in particular, right?
Yes.
It's mostly men's Bible studies that you do.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So, wow. Good start. Now, Here's a question for you I'd like to start off with, because I've identified you as the chaplain for the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the fellows in the hallway here was asking, and I said, gosh, he says, has he been with the Blazers a while? And I said, more than 20 years. He says, does he go back to Clyde Drexler and Cliff Robinson and Terry Porter? I think you do, right?
This will be my 35th season coming
up. No way.
Yes, I've been chaplain of the Trailblazers and the Portland State football team for 34 years.
Wow. Well, tell us how that got started.
Well, it was a direct call from God to me to be available to athletes and coaches. I didn't understand that, and I resisted it for 11 months. But during that 11-month period of time, I had the opportunity to take every Wednesday and isolate myself in a vacant house and just spend the day with God. Just spending the day fasting and praying and sleeping, whatever. You know, you fall asleep when you pray long enough. And God just took that time and began to make his call in my life more clear. And it culminated in a home group Bible study where a young lady had to leave but couldn't leave until she felt the group prayed for us. I hadn't told them what was going on, and they did stop, and Andy and I sat in the middle of the room, and they gathered around. Some of them laid hands on us, and people began to pray. And when she prayed, what came forth was a word of prophecy. God said, "Yea, my son, now is the hour, now is the time. If you will but place your feet upon the path I've set before you, I will go before you and prepare the way. Your treasure lies beneath the mountain." And that was it. I just said, "Yes, Lord, I'll be available to athletes and coaches." That was on a Sunday night. 2 days later, I just happened to run into Michael Thompson on the street downtown. I had sold him a home 2 years earlier. I knew Michael. He knew I was a Christian. We had prayed together through that home purchase process. I didn't tell him what was going on. We were talking about his family in the Bahamas. And he said, "Al, if I can get some guys together on the team, would you lead a Bible study for us?" And I've just said, "Yes, Lord, I'll be available to athletes and coaches." So what could I say to Michael? 2 days later, I got a phone call from Kurt Wilmarth, who's now home with the Lord, and Neil Lomax, who were then at Portland State. And they said, "Al, we're trying to get a Bible study going on our football team. Would you lead it?" And that's how it began. That was the birthing of our ministry, which we call Beyond Victory Ministries.
And I want to ask you about that name in a little bit, too. So tell us what it is that you do primarily for the Blazers. What is it that that ministry encompasses?
Well, as chaplain, I do a chapel service 1 hour before game time, every home game. I'm in and out of the practice facility as often as I can be, just being there, spending time with guys as they work out. Now, once they start the practice, I'm gone. There's nothing I can do then. But prior to practice, I'm there. If anybody's got a problem, they know that I'm available. The key, the absolute key to this kind of a ministry is two things: visibility and availability. Mm-hmm. I've got to be visible enough that they know who I am and then be available when they have a need. And that's what it's about.
Tell us a little bit about that chapel.
It's about 12 minutes. We plan it for 15, but athletes are never on time, and so we start when they get there, and it's generally 10 or 12 minutes of being in the Word, sharing how God's Word applies to our lives today.
And I think you've said in the past that you invite the visiting team to come also.
Our chapels throughout the NBA, and we were the third team in the league to have a chapel. Now everybody does, and all of them are open to players on both teams, so... Yeah. I generally always have players from both teams in our chapel service.
Yeah. And Andy, I know that at one point, I don't know if you're still doing it, you were doing a chapel service for the Blazer Dancers.
Mm-hmm. I'm still doing it.
Doing that.
Yes.
Wow, what a
21 years, 22 years.
Yeah, excellent.
Started in 92, the end of 92.
Okay, wow. And what kind of responses generally do you get with your overall ministry and with the chapels and so forth?
Well, with chapels, my attendance... varies from year to year. You got 15 players, and most often I've had 6 to 9, sometimes as many as 11 players in chapel on a consistent basis. This past year it was down a little, but we had more guys on the team that I felt at some point had asked Christ into their life than I've ever had. So, and she gets all of them.
I do. And that's just because we don't have a room to meet.
Okay.
And a separate room to move to for chapel.
Yes. And we did that before. First we started in the Coliseum, had a little room that we would do ours in, which was really where the guys met, but just after them. And then we moved over to the Rose Garden, and it just kind of worked out that we kind of kept working down with a spot to have, and so they just put us, they put all the girls back in the big room where people that come to town to entertain, like yeah. Reba and those different ones, where they would go to the star dressing rooms. So we're in there, but I tell them at the beginning of the year, I tell them that this is a Christian chapel. It is interdenominational, but not interfaith. And so I have to lay, I feel that I have to lay it out. There's, mm-hmm. I have nothing to go by because I'm the only one in the NBA doing this.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Really?
And, wow. But the Lord made it happen, not yeah. me. I was telling you that I was 51 years old yeah. when this happened. Yeah. We were doing baseball, the Portland Beaver baseball ministry. Actually, we were doing that before we were called into ministry. So we weren't just like somebody out there that didn't have any kind of a connection. Mm-hmm. And we also were doing FCA groups in our home for a couple of high schools. But
FCA is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we had high school FCA groups that met in our home or sometimes in their homes.
Mm-hmm. Prior to our actual calling yeah. into full-time ministry.
I'm picking up, Andy, on the fact that you started this ministry with God's calling at age 51.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making the application here that our listeners, our target listeners, are 50-plus.
Mm-hmm.
So even at that age, when we're on our 50s, we can still hear the call of God. We can set other things aside, and we can start that journey to what God has appointed for us. We don't have to grab it as a teenager or as a young adult, but it can be midway through life as well.
And he could pick us up off the couch and say, get going, because yeah. you're not going to just veg here and just take up air. We have
exactly.
something for you to do. And when you do these things, I think you need to go into Bible studies and, mm-hmm. you know, those kinds of things so that you're in the Word and being able to try to get across to the other people. Like for me, it's trying to introduce the girls who maybe have never heard a thing and right. then to tell them the first half of the year who Jesus is
yeah.
and how much he loves them. That's all he told me to do, is you go and tell them how much I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a wide open field of how
sure.
many ways you can share that.
Yeah.
Then the second half we do relationships, and they really like that on the, you know,
wonderful.
Marriage and that kind of thing.
Wow. We're going to take a really brief break right now. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
All right, we've been playing this commercial for Dignity Memorial for a few weeks. And we have in studio today Kim Morley, who has been on the show with a more extended interview and information. But we know that sometimes it's hard to take that first step. It's sometimes hard to reach out and say, you know what, I would like to get some more information. And so without cost or obligation, Kim would like to reach out to the listeners and to make an offer that might make that step a little bit easier. So, Kim, what do you got?
Thanks, Dan. We've got a couple of different things. As a group, we offer educational seminars. No one should walk through the doors of a funeral home being uneducated or unknowing of the questions that they're going to be facing. And so we do that with one of two things. You can come to one of our seminars, and we have several on the agenda coming up in the next couple of weeks. By calling our number and signing up, we can give you all the dates and times, but just to give you an idea, on Tuesday the 12th, we're going to be going to Elmer's out on Northeast Sandy, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then on the 14th, we've got one at 6 o'clock at Old Spaghetti Factory. That's p.m., 6 yeah. o'clock p.m., and I'm sorry, that's on the 20th, Old Spaghetti Factory, and that's in Vancouver, for those of you on the other side of the river. And then on the 14th, we're doing one out in Tigard at the Portland Seafood Company. That's on August 14th, again at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you don't have time to join us for one of our seminars, we'd be happy to schedule a private appointment with you, either in the comfort of your own home or in one of our offices. And by doing that, we would like to offer you one of our pre-planning guides, which Dignity Memorial provides, and also a wonderful book written by Mr. Dan Critchett on 10 ways to save money on a funeral plan. And we could bring that out to you for your review as well. So any of those, we'd be happy to take care of you. And by calling our phone number at 503-747-7128, we can give you the full details and get you signed up for any of those.
Excellent. Let's hear that phone number again.
Phone number again is 503-747-7128.
And they have voicemail on there, so you can call at 10 p.m. or 6 p.m. and Kim will not answer the phone. But that's the office number, and you can leave a message there. I just want to say a little bit about why I wrote this book. And I've talked about this on this radio show, that I've been in this business for 17 years, in the funeral business, helping people understand the dynamics of funeral planning and how to take that first step. And this book, 10 Ways to Save Money on a Funeral Plan, is very much in favor of the person that's thinking about putting a plan together. And so with these 10 ways, you can know that you're empowered and equipped and prepared, but also some very practical ways to let that funeral plan fit your budget. The actual tagline for the book is getting the remembrance you want at a price you can live with. So now, Kim, you're saying that you're going to offer a free copy of this book, this awesome book, to a person who will just meet with one of your representatives, no cost or obligation, but in their home or in one of our offices, and we're all over the Portland metro area.
Correct. This book is a wonderful add-on to what we do in the fact that we are out there to help people in saving money, putting a plan in place that they want and that their family will feel comfortable with, both emotionally and financially. So they work hand in hand. We'd be more than happy to bring that out to you. And again, like you said, no cost, no obligation. Get the information, and then we'll see what you want to do from there.
Right. And it sounded like your seminars are distributed around the town a little bit. We had Vancouver, we have Northeast Portland out by the airport, and we have Tigard, and we have a morning one, and the other two were evening.
Correct.
And there are always more coming up. So if a person called the phone number, and we'll give that at the end here, or if go to the secondhalfnow.com website, we'll post the listing of all of the upcoming seminars there too. Can you say just a little bit more about what the seminar would be, how long it is, what's all included?
Sure. The seminars last about an hour. About 25, 30 minutes of that is going to be me discussing what it means to prearrange, why we do it, why we talk to people, and why we feel it's so important to get a plan put in place. It does include your meal. So if you come out for the breakfast one or for the dinner one, it does include the meal. So that's a wonderful add-on. But when you leave there, you're going to be equipped with the information that you need. Whether you put a plan in place is up to you. But by coming there and getting the information, you've got a little bit more to go with to get that decision made.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, I'm hoping that this rings a bell and strikes a chord out there for our listeners, because there is so much information. And what Kim does is really take the scary out of even thinking about talking about funeral planning and that whole dynamic. So thanks, Kim, for being here. And we hope to have the phone ring and have some requests for information on our website, secondhalfnow.com. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Dignity Memorial offers informational seminars, including a free breakfast or dinner around the Portland area. So the main thing is to take the scary out of funeral prearranging. Go to our website to get the current information about the seminars that are coming up for you. secondhalfnow.com. Okay, we're back with Al and Andy Egg, chaplain to the Trailblazers and the Blazer Dancers. Great to have you guys in the studio today. I'd like to move on with some other questions. Thank you for that background about how you got started and what exactly you do. I'd like to say, what does your ministry to these players, how does that affect their attitude toward the team, toward the game, and toward life? Can you see some visible responses from that?
Yes, I think for anybody, whether it's a basketball player or a chef in a restaurant or a waiter in a restaurant or a track layer, whatever, anybody who draws closer to God is going to have that affect their work, right, their attitude in life, in work, and everything else. The closer we get to God, the better our attitude will be about everything. And so it does have impact.
Yeah, and you find that with the players.
Absolutely. It doesn't mean they're going to score more points, get more rebounds or anything, but they're going to play with a different attitude than before.
One of the things I've noticed about the selection of team members is in Portland, there seems to be an emphasis on character and on the overall, I don't know what I want to say, the view of life of these. We can't get behind the curtain. We can't hear them talk about those personal things. But there seems to be an emphasis or a priority on finding men of good character.
There really is right now. And it's been that way off and on throughout the entire life of the organization, but especially now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got some great character people right now on the team.
Any you could name?
All of them, really. I mean, I don't see a bad apple in the group right now. They don't all come to chapel. They aren't all professing believers of Christ or anything like that, but many of them are. And just who they are, the people they are, the attitudes that they bring and all of that. And I think it begins with Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge and right on down. It's just, they're great people.
Yeah. And that's fun to watch those guys because you want to root for a team like that. You like seeing them win because they are men of good character. So I'm going to give the quote again and the second clue for who said that. Don't try to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value. Clue number two, when he came to New York as a refugee, his notoriety had preceded him. He had lunch with the editors of the New York Times. He was given the key to the city of New York City, by the mayor, and was given a tour of the then-famous Riverside Church, which included a full-size statue of him. That's the second clue. I'm going to ask Al and Andy some other questions, and we are out of time for the broadcast portion, and we're going to meet you over on the other side on the podcast. Be sure you go to the website, secondhalfnow.com. Find the podcast. You can rehear this one and the broadcast one, and then you can also hear the podcast where we're going to continue right after this. So I just want to make sure that our listeners know we've got some very good shows coming up, some very good guests. We have a guest going to help us in caring for our aging family members. We have an estate planning attorney coming in, and lots of other things I don't even have time to tell you about. Just remember to tune in to KKPZ 1330, 530 to 6 on Monday evenings, and the podcast and the broadcast available every at all the time, 24/7. So thank you for listening today. Just, you got to go over to the podcast and hear the rest of this interview with Al and Andy Egg. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Let's continue our conversation on the podcast. See you there.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330 The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com. Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on, with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
Welcome to the second half of Second Half Now. And you're on the podcast version, of course, here, and I am your host, Dr. Dan Critchett. Our co-host, Dr. Denise Hogan, is on the road today, out of town, couldn't be here, but welcoming into our studio our guests for today, Al and Andy Egg. Very happy to have them here. We're going to resume our conversation in just a minute. I just want to remind you listeners that this portion of the broadcast is always available 24/7 online. You just go to secondhalfnow.com, and there's a whole listing of the podcast and the broadcast there. And we're going to be putting that up with the topics and the guests and everything that we need on there, so you can be selective, because every show is a unique unit unto itself with a very special topic. You can hear the whole thing under that topic and listen to the guests and the questions and answers. And it's a lot of very, very helpful stuff for boomers and beyonders. We're trying to give you tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. So, Al, I'll ask you, and if Andy, you have an input to this too, and I'm not sure how this all came about, but the name of your ministry is Beyond Victory.
Right. In praying and asking God, what do we call this thing, that just came to me. And to me, it meant that beyond the game, whatever it is, there's more to life than winning or losing a ball game. That's just it. There's more to life than that. So the name became Beyond Victory Ministries. And there's a bit of humorous thing in this, in that about 5, 6, 7 years later, something like that, a dear friend of ours, John Warehouse, was chaplain of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Angels and the Rams, and when they were there. And he was about to organize or start his own nonprofit. And he called me one day and he said, Al, I want to call my ministry Victory Ministries. Are you okay with that? I said, sure, John, whatever you do, I'm okay with anything. After I hung up, I thought, that's going to look really good. Here's Victory Ministries, and then we come along and go beyond Victory Ministries. When the progression was just the opposite. We were first, and then he came in. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's all in God.
Well, I think there's something that you say very powerfully just with that name, Beyond Victory. I mean, it's pretty intuitive. It says there's something more than just this game and this score, this season. There's something beyond that.
And there are families.
Say
and there are families and all of our, you know, your personal life. That's beyond victory, too.
Right.
And I think that's why God gave us that name.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us about, now we heard about the chapel services and hanging around, being visible and available. Those are the two key things. I know, Al, that you do a Bible study now and then around town. I'm saying that a little tongue-in-cheek because I know it's a little bit more intense than that. So
let me
tell us
first,
about that.
Let me, before we talk about the Bible study, let me just add that, you know, with Portland State University, with the football team, I try to go to practice every day. I travel with them, away games. We do chapel on Friday night before every game, home or away. And chapel attendance there has been really, really good through the years. So that's a big thing.
Yeah. So you're on the road with them too.
Yes, I do travel with them. I don't travel with the Trailblazers. Wouldn't want that schedule.
Right.
Oh, maybe a 2-day trip to Phoenix in February wouldn't be bad. But, but yes, I do travel with the Portland State team, and we do chapel every game. Okay, Bible studies. Yes, I have 3 weekly men's Bible studies, and then I have a 4th one that's men and women, meets every other week. And that's in a private office. It's just their company staff. And but the 3 men's studies, my Tuesday morning study has been meeting together for, I think, 34 years now. And the Thursday morning group has been going for about 28 or 9 years. And my Wednesday study is in, a boardroom of a company. And it's a smaller one. It's been going about 16 years. So
you have longevity on your side. When you start something, you just keep on doing it.
Yeah, until God tells me to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're waiting for God to say, don't do this anymore.
And he's a firstborn loyal. A lot of the guys that come to this, the same kind. You just think, how do they do this every single week?
Right.
They do.
Well, I want to mention about, I don't know if this is how we met. I don't think it is, but back in the day, you were doing a men's Bible study for guys from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Southwest Portland. And that is my home church, and I knew those guys. And so when I found out that you were doing a Bible study with them, I would rattle off a few names, and you'd say, yep, he's there, you know, and yeah. We could say them even again yeah. now. A lot of them have gone on to be with the
right.
Lord, and are you still doing
and
that?
And it wasn't a Good Shepherd Bible study. It was just a Bible study that I was asked to lead,
uh-huh.
and a couple of, I think initially one man from Good Shepherd came, and then he started bringing others.
Okay, yeah.
And before long, it was probably more Good Shepherd men than there were others, yeah. but the men came from five or six different churches, and it's still that way. So,
and that Bible study is continuing to go.
Absolutely.
Is that the 34-year one?
That's the 34-year one, yes.
Wow.
You know, and there are men in there. We have a couple of men in there that are 90-plus years old.
Wow.
And they love the Word of God, and they love hearing more of it.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Isn't that what happens, that something that the Word does in a life is it makes you hunger for more?
Oh,
makes you want more
absolutely.
Of it?
Absolutely. It's like a really, really good vegetable or soft drink or something that you finish and you say, wow, that tasted like more. And you just want more.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of those men started that Bible study when they retired from what their jobs were.
Sure. Yeah.
So there they were. You know, they yeah. had done their main works, and then off they go to just develop that part of their lives
right.
more deeply.
Right. That was held at a breakfast Bible study at a at a restaurant in
yes, that Tualatin study started in a restaurant in what's now the Bridgeport shopping
okay,
mall area.
Right.
It's the restaurant that had the name Bob's Big Boy and Pig and Pancake at one time. It went through four different owners and name changes the first 25 years that we were there.
Yeah.
And we were there every Tuesday morning. I mean, we were consistent forever and ever and ever. And we arrived one Tuesday, and the place was boarded up, closed.
Oh, no.
They hadn't told us they were going to close. Well, that's when we moved a couple of blocks away to the Village Inn, because by that time, the Bridgeport Shopping Center was really being finished, I guess. And
yeah.
But they didn't, you know, we'd been there over 25 years, and they didn't tell us they were going to close.
Wow.
We get there, and there's nobody there. The windows are boarded
yeah.
up. So,
can you tell us about when you do a Bible study with these guys? What do you do? Do you go verse by verse through a book or topic?
We do a bit of both things. We've done recently, and we've done several through the years, actual book studies. The most recent one we did with all three of the groups was In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day.
Hmm.
And it's a great book, and we just finished it with the third group this morning. The others had finished several weeks ago. They aren't all on the same schedules. My travel affects that, other things. So, and then other times, like right now with the other groups, and we'll start with this one next week, we're just going through Psalms. Mm-hmm. We've done probably most of the New Testament, and we just do a chapter a week. If we get through the chapter, it depends on what kind of discussion we have and who has questions and all of that. But we attempt to do a chapter each week. Of course, in Psalms, you may do more than that. But that's it, just seeing God's Word.
Yeah. And these guys, do they ask questions or do they give insights? Do you ask for that? Is it a dialogue?
We try to dialogue. You don't get that a lot. But what we do is we take turns reading the verses around the table. And
mm-hmm.
I'll have somebody read two or three verses and then I'll comment on them. I've used commentaries through the years. The best commentary I've ever found, and the one I'm using almost daily now, is John Corson's commentary on the Bible. It's three volumes. So I generally have that with me and share what he has to say about verses. I always try to use a life application Bible because those have comments that apply to our lives today. And the guys like to hear that. And then I think what most of them have told me they like is when I insert stories about the athletes I work with or my own life and that, there's always, I'm a story guy.
Yeah.
And I'm known for that. And I tell stories. And for the most part, God's allowed me to remember stories and things, and so we just put them in there.
Yeah. As long as you don't keep telling the same story every week, right?
Well, some of these guys are old enough that you could get away with that. And I tell them that, too. Yeah. I say, okay, I know I've told you guys this before, but you need to hear it again. They say, oh, we don't remember. So.
That's funny. So, Al, I want to ask you, what does it mean to you personally to help men of these various ages get in touch with God and to really process his truth and his voice in our life? What does it mean to you personally?
Well, first of all, when I'm teaching a Bible study, I've got to learn it first. Mm-hmm. So I get as much or more value out of teaching a Bible study than they do. But on the other hand, there's just such a feeling of accomplishment and satisfaction when you are helping other people understand and know God's word.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to explain that, but it's a great thing.
Yeah. I'm recalling some of the writings of Paul where he talks about the people who are in the churches that he started, and he referred to them as, you are my prize, you are my glory, because it is the fruit of his labor, not on his own. You know, he never thought of himself as a great preacher or teacher. He put all of his credentials up, and he said, that's all garbage.
Yeah.
I'm just a servant of Christ. And I know as a pastor, to see the reward of that word of God taking root in a person's life and heart, and seeing some transformation and seeing some change in attitude, change in behaviors, change in habits and those kinds of things. And just a sense of, in some cases, it's, you can see it on their face.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You can see, this is making a difference for me. This gives me purpose, gives me calling, it gives me the peace and joy that I need in this sometimes troubled life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of that. I mean, because you have the Bible studies, you got the Blazers, you got the Vikings football, and extended beyond as well. So,
yes,
yeah, fruitful life.
I was thinking these are young people,
yeah,
in the athletic world that you're working with, and of course you're hoping you're working with the coaches and all of that kind of thing too. But this is a very special time in their lives, and I mean, they can go every which way. And
yeah,
those who've maybe never heard anything, what a privilege to get to share that. You don't know a lot of times if they're going to get it or if they're going to go with it. And but for us, it's that sowing the seed and hoping somebody comes along and waters it really, really good, and
yeah,
all that kind of thing. So that's kind of how we see ourselves when we're out doing the things in the secular world,
yeah,
is that it's God's deal.
And I just had a letter or an email just this week or last week from a young man. He and his wife and family are missionaries in China, and we've been helping to support them. We met him at a Pro Athletes Outreach conference, I thought, but he quickly told me there that he knew me from traveling through Portland playing baseball. He was a minor league baseball player for a number of years and had been in Portland, came to chapel every time he came here, and that's how he says we first met. Well, we've been helping support them in China for 5 or 6 years now, and in their home on Furlough in Texas. And he emailed me, and he said that he still remembers a couple of things that I taught in Bible studies 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And that just, you know, I'll go another 20 years with that, you know.
Okay.
I mean, that just inspires you to continue to do what God has called you to do.
Al, I've known you for a long time, and I don't see you as a guy who's just going to kind of lay it down and sit in the chaise lounge or go golfing and play and fishing and stuff. I mean, I think that you're going to follow this calling until your last breath.
Well, people ask me, when are you going to retire? Because, you know, I'm over 70 years old now. I'm beyond retirement age. And I say, how can you even think about retirement when you're having so much fun?
Right.
And I am. Last year with the Blazers was as much fun as I've ever had with them.
And you say retired from what?
Yeah.
I'm already at Disneyland.
That's
so
right.
I'm thinking about how you guys, two different audiences of your ministry, similar ages perhaps, but Al, you've got a lot of, your ministry to the Blazers is millionaires with big houses and fancy cars, But so, Andy, for your ministry, these are the dancers who aren't necessarily compensated that way. Mm-hmm. So different kind of lifestyles. And what I'm knowing about all of that is that the young people in these age categories, they are so bombarded by the secularism and all the humanism mm-hmm. of our era and of our culture. And so what you're doing is bringing a slice of life and a slice of light, a slice of truth into their lives, which they're not probably going to get anywhere else unless they are doing their own personal Bible study or attending someplace yeah. else or going to church or doing their devotions or whatever else. But what a ray of light and hope that you guys offer to these young people who have a schedule, they have got a career, a lot of very important things, but they hear everything out there in their world, and it's not complimentary to what we know and believe in God's teaching.
And with the Blazers in particular, I like to say that God has called me to influence the influencers because they have incredible influence in the community. And I just want to influence them for Jesus so that they can use that in their influence.
Excellent. We're going to take a brief break right here. Don't go away. We're going to give the third clue and the answer to who said that. So come right back after the break.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
All right, we've been playing this commercial for Dignity Memorial for a few weeks. And we have in studio today Kim Morley, who has been on the show with a more extended interview and information. But we know that sometimes it's hard to take that first step. It's sometimes hard to reach out and say, you know what, I would like to get some more information. And so without cost or obligation, Kim would like to reach out to the listeners and to make an offer that might make that step a little bit easier. So, Kim, what do you got?
Thanks, Dan. We've got a couple of different things. As a group, we offer educational seminars. No one should walk through the doors of a funeral home being uneducated or unknowing of the questions that they're going to be facing. And so we do that with one of two things. You can come to one of our seminars, and we have several on the agenda coming up in the next couple of weeks. By calling our number and signing up, we can give you all the dates and times, but just to give you an idea, on Tuesday the 12th, we're going to be going to Elmer's out on Northeast Sandy, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then on the 14th, we've got one at 6 o'clock at Old Spaghetti Factory. That's PM, 6 yeah. o'clock PM, and I'm sorry, that's on the 20th, Old Spaghetti Factory, and that's in Vancouver, for those of you on the other side of the river. And then on the 14th, we're doing one out in Tigard at the Portland Seafood Company. That's on August 14th, again at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you don't have time to join us for one of our seminars, we'd be happy to schedule a private appointment with you, either in the comfort of your own home or in one of our offices. And by doing that, we would like to offer you one of our pre-planning guides, which Dignity Memorial provides, and also a wonderful book written by Mr. Dan Critchett on 10 ways to save money on a funeral plan. And we could bring that out to you for your review as well. So any of those, we'd be happy to take care of you. And by calling our phone number at 503-747-7128, we can give you the full details and get you signed up for any of those.
Excellent. Let's hear that phone number again.
Phone number again is 503-747-7128.
And they have voicemail on there, so you can call at 10 p.m. or 6 p.m. and Kim will not answer the phone. But that's the office number, and you can leave a message there. I just want to say a little bit about why I wrote this book. And I've talked about this on the on this radio show, that I've been in this business for 17 years, in the funeral business, helping people understand the dynamics of funeral planning and how to take that first step. And this book, 10 Ways to Save Money on a Funeral Plan, is very much in favor of the person that's thinking about putting a plan together. And so with these 10 ways, you can know that you're empowered and equipped and prepared, but also some very practical ways to let that funeral plan fit your budget. The actual tagline for the book is getting the remembrance you want at a price you can live with. So now, Kim, you're saying that you're going to offer a free copy of this book, this awesome book, to a person who will just meet with one of your representatives, no cost or obligation, but in their home or in one of our offices, and we're all over the Portland metro area.
Correct. This book is a wonderful add-on to what we do in the fact that we are out there to help people in saving money, putting a plan in place that they want and that their family will feel comfortable with, both emotionally and financially. So they work hand in hand. We'd be more than happy to bring that out to you. And again, like you said, no cost, no obligation. Get the information, and then we'll see what you want to do from there.
Right. And it sounded like your seminars are distributed around the town a little bit. We had Vancouver, we have Northeast Portland out by the airport, and we have Tigard, and we have a morning one, and the other two were evening.
Correct.
And there are always more coming up. So if a person called the phone number, and we'll give that at the end here, or if go to the secondhalfnow.com website, we'll post the listing of all of the upcoming seminars there too. Can you say just a little bit more about what the seminar would be, how long it is, what's all included?
Sure. The seminars last about an hour. About 25, 30 minutes of that is going to be me discussing what it means to prearrange, why we do it, why we talk to people, and why we feel it's so important to get a plan put in place. It does include your meal. So if you come out for the breakfast one or for the dinner one, it does include the meal. So that's a wonderful add-on. But when you leave there, you're going to be equipped with the information that you need. Whether you put a plan in place is up to you. But by coming there and getting the information, you've got a little bit more to go with to get that decision made.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, I'm hoping that this rings a bell and strikes a chord out there for our listeners, because there is so much information. And what Kim does is really take the scary out of even thinking about talking about funeral planning and that whole dynamic. So thanks, Kim, for being here. And we hope to have the phone ring and have some requests for information on our website, secondhalfnow.com. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Dignity Memorial offers informational seminars, including a free breakfast or dinner around the Portland area. So the main thing is to take the scary out of funeral prearranging. Go to our website to get the current information about the seminars that are coming up for you, secondhalfnow.com. All right, welcome back. Dan Critchett here is your host, Second Half Now, and happy to have in the studio today Al and Andy Egg, chaplains to the Trailblazers, the Players, and the Blazer Dancers. We are continuing our conversation, and we're going to be winding it down here pretty soon. We're on the podcast side, but before we do, I have to be sure to give the third clue. I've got Al and Andy stumped on this one. Yeah, okay. Here's the quote again. Don't try to become a person of success, but rather try to become a person of value. And if you didn't hear it on the broadcast portion, this man, his books were burned in Nazi Germany. He had a $5,000 bounty on his head. He was listed in one publication as one of those, quote, not yet hanged. And so his notoriety preceded him when he was a refugee in New York. He had lunch with the editors of New York Times, who was given a key to the city of New York by the mayor, and was given a tour of the then famous Riverside Church, which included in the church a full-size statue of him. Third clue. He has been on the cover of Time and other magazines and is likely one of the most recognizable people in the world. There we go. Not the Pope, but you might be getting close. All right. Okay, so I'm going to give the answer in just a couple more minutes, but I just want to ask a couple more questions of you guys. I'm so glad that you were able to come today. Our listeners is primarily comprised of boomers and beyonders, people who are past the 50-yard line, 50-plus, and the boomers, the youngest of the boomers are turning 50 this year, from 1964 to 2014. So the boomer range is born in between 46 and 64. So now, if you're 50-plus, you can listen to the radio show right here. So I'd like to ask for you guys, what would you say to boomers and beyonders who want to make a difference in life? Here they are, they're past the 50-yard line, and maybe they've done some things that they feel good and are involved in something that is important and valuable to them. But if they haven't yet, or if they need to enhance that or look at it again, what would you guys say to them?
I'd say the same thing to them I'd say to anybody. Get in the Word of God. Go deep with God, and then share what God is doing in your life every time you have the chance. There's a story about a lady in a church, a very large church with four services, and she decided she wanted to invite a coworker to a women's meeting at the church. She'd worked with this lady for 12 years. They were coworkers, and they had become kind of friends with lunch and that kind of thing. So she finally got up the nerve to ask the lady to come to her women's function. And the lady said, "That's my church. I was going to ask you to come to that."
Oh, no.
You know, we laugh at that, but that sadly is happening all the time. Yeah. So I would tell boomers and beyonders and anybody else, get in the Word, get close to God, and share what God is doing in your life. Share what you're learning about God with those around you.
I like that. I preached a message a few weeks back on how to know God's will for your life. And that, and I use the passage from Psalms that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And then as a companion to that, another the follow-up to that in the series on how to follow that will it, when you learn what desires God has placed in you was Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So, Al, I'm just chiming in with you here. Get in the Word, get closer to God, and find out what it is that he has given to you as a desire, how he wants to enable you to reach out and touch other lives and help other people. Andy, how about you? Same question.
I was just thinking of some friends of ours who are older than we are, and they have a thing for young life. Mm. So they back up anything with that, and they use their energies to go and do what they can to help. They go over to the camps. They do whatever is available for them to do. And, you know, it's just getting out there and checking things out and finding where you can serve someone.
Isn't it amazing that God always calls us to a place where we want to be? Because, you know, he doesn't push us, drag us kicking and screaming into something that we just really can't even stand being around those kinds of people.
Well, except he kind of did that with me.
Oh, is that right?
I was enjoying being at home, having the night off while Al was off to the ball games. And he made the thing happen with the dancers, and I had kind of bad attitude. And then I finally had to realize, because what we say is we only do what we've been asked to do. We never go and tell people we can do this, and would you like to have us be your chaplains? He comes after us through them asking us, and when I realized that, then I had to apologize to the Lord, and I said, "Please help me do this the way you want and see them the way you want." And he just changed my heart. Yeah. It was wonderful because we forget how much he loves.
And that's the illustration of the Psalm verse. Yeah. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire. So he gave you a desire to have a ministry to those blazer dancers.
One of the last things I'd like to say is that Andy said it the other day we were driving. He said, "Who would have guessed how much fun this life could be?" I mean, following Jesus is just absolutely more fun than you could ever imagine.
Wow. Amazing. And that following will sometimes take us through some tough times.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I want to ask you about. You guys and I have something very life-changing in common, and I wonder if you'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk long about it, but yes, in 35 years ago?
Because it is a long story. It was 1981.
1981, we lost our daughter in an automobile accident. She was in a car in an accident, was in a coma for a week, and then went home to be with Jesus. And we buried her the day before her 16th birthday. Mm-hmm. Not what you plan to do, but it's life.
And it was Christmas time, wasn't it?
It was right after...
It was in the fall.
Yeah, it was right at the end of October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Lord has used it in marvelous ways. And one of her classmates now is a church planter in Cambodia. I mean, the Lord has used that whole thing in many beautiful ways, mm-hmm. and he's still using her story. So.
And Tim, the church planter in Cambodia, came to Christ at her service.
Wow.
And now he's serving God.
And a church planter isn't just building buildings. There are many, many people who are being brought to Christ as a result of that church planting ministry.
Yes.
Yeah, and I have that in common with you guys. In fact, Al, you spoke at the six-month anniversary of my son Josh's death in a plane crash in 1997. When I first met you guys, your situation had already occurred because your daughter had already died and my son hadn't been killed yet. Mm-hmm. I was very attracted to your ministry and to your witness of what that did to mold and shape you and drive you closer to God.
Yes.
And what I found there is that as a preacher and a teacher, I talk a lot about God's peace and about the joy and all that. I mean, you can talk about it and it's all true. It's all right there in the Bible. But until you need it in an overabundant measure because of occasion like that, then you experience in a deep level that you really don't know otherwise, but you can still preach and teach about it, and I think you should.
Sometimes you don't know that you can take some of those things literally. Where, you know, in Isaiah where he says, I'll turn your mourning into joy, and he absolutely did that whole week for us and beyond that. Well, it was unbelievable how you could actually experience that.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you guys very much for coming in today. It's been
a joy
to have you here. I'm going to have to give the answer.
Mm-hmm. We are waiting.
Yeah, well, I'll just give the third quote. This person has been on the cover of Time and other magazines and is likely one of the most recognizable people in the world. And if I would have said something about his hairdo, that probably would have given it away, or the subject of his professional career. Hairdo, wild hairdo.
Albert Einstein?
That's the one.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I got to tell a story then.
Okay.
Unless you have a story about
I just want to say, I mean, I didn't realize that, you know, that his books were burned by the Nazis in Germany.
Either.
And he was to be hanged, and he had a $5,000 bounty on his head and all that stuff. And all the notoriety when he came to New York, there was a full-size statue built of him. Mm. An impact he's had on our world. In fact, I believe the Time magazine that I was picturing, he was the man of the century.
Oh.
As we turned to
2000,
yeah.
Mm. Well, the story is that he was on a train out of Boston, and the conductor's coming through the train collecting the tickets. He gets to Dr. Einstein, and he can't find his ticket. He's searching his pockets. He's looking in his briefcase. He just can't find the ticket. The conductor finally says, Dr. Einstein, it's okay. We know who you are. I recognize you. We know you wouldn't cheat us. Don't worry about the ticket. Conductor went on through the train collecting the tickets. When he got to the end of that car and was ready to go to the next one, he looked back and he saw Dr. Einstein on his knees probing in the cushion of that seat, still looking for that lost ticket. So he went back and he said, Dr. Einstein, it's okay. It's okay. You don't need the ticket. We know who you are. Dr. Einstein stood up and he said, young man, I too know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. And see, when we have Jesus Christ in our life, we have a ticket that you cannot lose, and it tells us where we are going.
Wow. I like that. Great way to end the show for today. Thank you very much, Al and Andy Egg, chaplains to the Trailblazers and the Blazer Dancers. That's the program for today. And this part you're listening on a computer or on your iPhone or smartphone or something, but if you want to catch the live broadcast, it's right here on KKPZ 1330 every Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m. So obviously that's you can get all the recordings by going to the website secondhalfnow.com. Lots of information available there. I want to thank you for listening today. Together, we are building a resource for all of us. Each show is a complete unit in itself, has a category and a title and a guest and a theme and all that stuff. packaging these things together to be really good resources for all of us. I'm your host, Dan Critchett, Second Half Now. Go to the website, secondhalfnow.com. And let's meet again next Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m., right here on KKPZ 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330, The Truth. Sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.